Hello, and thanks for listening to JoJo's Hi. Bizarre Podcast. My name is Mark. That small sound you just heard.
How fast was that?
That's fast, Miles. Pretty fast. There's Discord delay, so I don't know if people really appreciate it.
Now I want to go for the shortest hi.
Like this.
Hey.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's Miles. This is Mark and Miles and Jackie. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Jackie.
Oh, I should have gone for a longer hi to make it the longest hi.
I awkwardly interrupted really myself annoying. Because I had an aside about trying to make the shortest noise possible and realized, like, we haven't even gotten everyone's name out. Maybe I'll circle back to
Everybody
it.
Everybody try to say your name in the shortest. Yeah.
None of this is going to get picked up, actually. The fucking, my software is going to just filter it out like, that's noise.
Yeah.
This is a podcast about anime, not your dumb mouth talents. We used to just cover JoJo's Bizarre Adventure because there was so much JoJo anime to cover. This as JoJo anime as far as the eye could see. We started right in the middle of the goddamn series. There was so much. But we've caught up. We're waiting to see if they'll do more seasons of JoJo because there's plenty of manga left. And in the meantime, we're not reading the manga. We're watching other anime that our listeners recommend, our Patreon supporters sponsor, or we just happen to find lying around in the gutter on VHS and Laserdisc. And
by the way, the Mouth Talents podcast is What That Mouth Do.
Oh, yeah. Miles is going to do that on his own. I will never listen. This week, we're going to be talking about the second and last three episodes of Golden Boy, a 1995, I believe, OVA that we started last week. So that's 4, 5, and 6. And then we'll give our overall thoughts on Golden Boy. But before we do that, we need to first take a peek in Correspondence Corner. What I mean by that is we're going to check in on communications from our listeners, which includes emails that are sent to jojosbizarrepod@gmail.com. And we also have a Discord channel on the JoJo's Bizarre Podcast Discord that we did not set up, our listeners set up for us and you. And you can join that Discord by finding the link in the description of this podcast episode. How you do that is dependent on your podcast app. I don't know. I think we just have an email this week from Patreon sponsor Chad. Miles, can you read it?
Yeah, I got tricked, by the way, by this Guillaume Javon.
They're pretty good.
Fucking assholes. Anyway, this email is from not a fucking asshole. It's from Chad. Subject line is Golden Years. Aloha, JJB Padohana. I just want to say I'm so glad you all liked Golden Boy, and thank you for finishing it out. Here are some voice connections for the back half of Golden Boy. Hard-nosed swim instructor Ayuko Hayami is voiced by legendary voice actor Kikuko Inoue, who does not have any JoJo credits, also voiced the elder Tendo family sister Kasumi Tendo from Ranma, the deadly but kindly macrophages from Cells at Work, and is considered by many to be one of the originators of the Ara Ara big sister voice. I really liked her voice. The ponytailed anime director from episode 6 is voiced by the late Keiji Fujiwara, who also voiced ACDC, the Pillar Man from Part 2, the surprisingly boisterous mangaka, kind of like Kintaro, Tatsuya Engawa from episode 6, is voiced by the actual Tatsuya Engawa.
Oh.
Animator E, glasses black shirt, is voiced by the Wataru Takagi, who voiced Okuyasu. The director of animation, Wakamoto, is voiced by Yasuhiro Takato, who doesn't have a JoJo connection, but did provide the voice for Sailor Venus's companion cat Artemis from the OG Sailor Moon series. Once again, thank you for giving Golden Boy a try after I paid you to do so, and also thanks for checking out the dub too. Hope some listeners will give the OVA a look too. Now that you've watched all 6, do you have a favorite episode? Mahalo, Chad. P.S. I'm writing this email on May 12, 2024, which is Mother's Day this year. Wanted to wish a happy Mother's Day to both the traditional moms and the parents that aren't moms, but still fill that role. If you had to relive your childhood again, which JoJo's Bizarre Adventure mom would you like to have taking care of you?
Buccellati.
Oh, wow. Fast answer. Yeah.
He is mother.
Yeah.
As the kids say.
Is it? He's giving mom.
Yeah.
He's serving. Is it too obvious to say Josuke's mom?
No, there's lots of moms. You could have said Lisa. She's a mom. She wasn't really a great mom, I guess.
No, not really.
Not a great mom.
Josuke's mom, I think, was a good mom.
She's also hot.
Who's, yeah, she's good. She'll fight.
Is that one of your criteria, Mark, for someone taking care
yeah,
of
as long as it's not my actual mom, then like, yeah.
Okay.
What about that lady who gives baby Paul Nerif a bath?
Yeah, oh, yeah, I don't know.
I pick her.
Because you guys said that she was a pervert after a while, I think, so.
I think she's not good.
No.
She's not a good, she does all the wrong things, but she's hot, so no one cares.
What if someone's like Enya? I want Enya to be my mom. She could possess a whole
mom?
Town.
Who's the one that can't control her plant powers?
Holly. She's good if you're like a latchkey kid.
Because
she's just like being sick and you just come in and go, do what you want, drink in the basement with your friends.
Jolene's mom, what even, like she never shows up, right? What happens to her?
Jolene's mom never visits her. I think she's unnamed.
Yeah, but she never visits her in prison or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, bad mom.
Bad mom.
Not a lot of good parents, but better moms than dads, I think, in JoJo.
I think that's true.
Who had
the hair stand?
Yukako,
I want her.
She's a juvenile.
Oh, I think she'd be a good mom.
What?
Yeah.
She'd be a good mom. She'd be like tough but fair.
Yeah, we've talked about this. I think she would push me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Push sometimes.
I think Dio is a good mommy to all his weirdo vampire monster friends that live in his house. Yeah. He's always yelling at the video game kid in the basement.
But doesn't he also like fuck all of them?
Not all of them.
I think every single one of them.
Oh, Jesus. All right. Yeah, thanks for the email, Chad.
Wait, here's another question. Which is our favorite episode? Should we answer that now before we inevitably forget?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's the first one because I feel like it's the easiest. It just encapsulates what the show is.
I think for me it's the first one too, but I'm trying to think about all of
which one was.
No, for me it's the noodle one and it's not close.
Oh, okay.
Oh, why do you like the noodle one so much?
Because it's the least, it's the sweetest one.
It is very sweet.
It is sweet. Let me look. I'm looking at my recaps.
You've got programmers?
Yes.
Then you've got a mayor candidate's daughter that wants to frame you.
That one was kind of fun.
Three is the sweet noodle shop.
Yeah.
Four is the swimming lady.
Okay. We'll talk about it.
Five is the bike vibrator. And six is the animation, the gang's all here. I did like that one too. I like six because I saw one through five.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, I think it's the first one for me. Everything kind of comes together. He gets all this money from the lady and then he gives it away because he's a good guy.
I love all the retro tech.
I like all the lady programmers who are like kind of dumb. I love that the fucking president of the company just shows up like in full stripper uniform because she just does whatever the fuck she wants because it's her company and no one can tell her anything.
I think that this show may feature the least realistic depictions of women
for sure
that I've ever seen in anime.
But like, and normally I'd be so mad about it, but it's so absurd and funny that like, I think it's funnier than it is sexist.
Yeah.
And
it doesn't seriously.
I'm just like, all right.
It doesn't
still
think
like
any
you.
Of this stuff. But they did have a normal ass lady in episode six that just were not even the big titty cell painter girl. There's like another regular ass lady.
Wait, which regular lady?
There's just a regular lady.
Which
like
one?
Like a middle aged lady.
She's like maybe middle aged. Her hair is like, I don't know. It's not
She's
black.
She's like frazzled,
Yeah, she just looks like another overworked animator, but she's a lady. She's very briefly there.
Okay.
Yeah.
But she shows up two or three times.
Okay.
Just to let everyone know, I believe the mangaka's name is actually Tatsuya Egawa with no N.
Oh.
But for some reason, the character in the anime is Tatsuya Engawa. Like, that somehow differentiates it? Mm. I don't know. Just a little fun trivia there.
Hmm.
It's also not the first time he's acted. I forget what else he acted in, but Tatsuya Egawa. I think he may have also done a voice in like episode one of this this show. Anyway.
Good for him.
Anyway, enough about Golden Boy. We're jumping the gun because we want to tell you that we have a Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/JJBpod, you can support our little podcast for as little as $1 a month. That gets you access to the Patreon feed, which has a bunch of deleted audio that we took out of the main podcast feed. There's about an hour's worth of content there if you just like hearing us go off about random things that are usually not anime, unfortunately. For $3 a month, you get that same benefit, but we will also thank you out loud by your chosen name on the podcast, which we'll do in a sec. And it's also for the moment where you can one time pay $15 and we will do an episode of the podcast about an anime of your choosing. And when I say about an anime, I really mean about three episodes of an anime because we really don't have all the time in the world, but we can talk about it. You just pledge, you send a message, say, here's my name and what I want you to watch. And I'll be like, okay, 90% of the time, I'm like, okay, cool. Most people know what they're doing. Very rarely have I been like, nah, man. So that's patreon.com/JJBpod. Let's say some thank yous.
So thank you to I Want to See You Eat Those Chocolates.
Elijah.
Gen X Anime Dad.
Colin.
Clit Rocket.
Shungoon.
Shun. Oh, sorry.
You got it.
Hentai Homie.
I Love Jojo Uwu.
Daniel.
Soliloquy.
Kasun.
Lord Zendar.
Jumbo.
Katie.
Bloof.
Kanae.
Mirror Man.
The Stand User, formerly known as Austin.
Tim.
Martin.
Aquosus.
And Chad.
Chad. Thanks, every baby.
Yeah, wait a minute. That's not how you say it.
Ha ha ha. I sounded like a fucking Korok. Yeah, ha ha.
I haven't played that game in forever.
I thought about firing it back up. There was a bunch of weird articles about how it's a 1 year anniversary since it came out, which they don't do for any other game, do they? But
no.
It's just so big. It's all dark in that basement down there. All right, patreon.com/JJBpod. All right, yeah. So Golden Boy, 4 through 6. I took some notes. I did a little bit of research on a topic that piqued my interest. But one thing that I learned from the, I think it's just r/anime. They have those anime rewatch where someone just like digs up an old anime and they watch it together. Is that the animation director for the show is Toshihiro Kawamoto, and he did character design for Cowboy Bebop, Wolf's Rain Noragami, and the openings of both Full Metal Alchemists. And some people pointed out similarities between one of the characters of these three episodes and Faye from Cowboy Bebop, which I think is fair. What'd you say, Miles?
Tits out.
I don't know. I think some of the hair is kind of similar with the swim instructor and Faye.
They're long boys.
I don't think so.
They are tall, long boys, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I need to see her in a different outfit.
All right. I gotta say that like the first three episodes of this show, it's like gross, funny, gross, funny. And the third one, you're like, oh, that's kind of sweet. Yeah. And then four and five are like, how about the most disgusting?
Yeah.
They kicked it up a notch.
They really kicked it up a notch to the point where five is like practically just half porn.
Yeah. Well, no, I think, because I thought from episode one, I was like, is this a hentai? So it was already porn, I think.
But five is like, half of it is like just not gags.
Yeah.
It's just a lady being sexy.
Yeah.
It is just a lady being sexy, but it's also a man on an out of control bicycle.
It's a lot of that too, yeah.
I think a lady being sexy takes up a lot of episodes though. Like the episode where the girl was like kind of toying with him.
Yes, that's true.
That was also just her being sexy.
Yeah, episode two was like that.
And like you get a lot of emphasis of like his thought process of like what she feels like or what and stuff like that. Like,
and they show his crotch.
They show his boner a lot.
They do.
They show her panty shots and you see all the nipples and he talks about the fucking all of that stuff. So I think all of it is hentai.
I think five is the worst ratio, personally.
She does
fuck a motorcycle.
She does.
Yeah. I think it depends on what you're into, I guess.
I don't agree.
Maybe this one was the most straightforward.
Sure, her naked tits are out and she fondles them. That doesn't happen in episode two.
There's naked tits in episode four with the swim instructor. It's his fantasy, but she's wearing like a dominatrix outfit and her titties are cut out.
But it's a fantasy. In five, she's... Well, I don't want to describe it. I feel weird even describing
okay,
it.
Okay, let's talk about the episode and I'll describe it
four
for everybody.
Is the swimming one.
Four is a swimming one. So he is, I don't know, just walking around a town and he looks in through a window and he sees that, oh, it's a swim school. He's like, oh, what are people doing swimming? It's cold out. And then a mysterious babe walks by and he's just like mesmerized by her. And he says her eyes are like an African savanna. Or something.
He says that, like, I think he says that she reminds him of the African savanna.
No, he says he looks at her and sees an African savanna. That's what the subtitle said.
The only thing I can think is that she's a little bit tanner than him and she has short hair. So he's like, what a wild environment. I don't know.
Her eyes are drawn different. Her eyes are drawn, like, cool.
Okay.
Like, she looks like a cool person.
They're cool.
Yeah. He describes her eyes as animalistic, says something, and then he starts thinking about the untamed wilderness within her clothes. He starts talking about like what he's thinking, which is just like, I don't know what her underwear looks like and stuff. I don't know, but he doesn't show us. He just kind of describes it. And then he starts following her to wherever she's going.
As you do.
you stop in your tracks. You see a fucking hot woman and you're like, I need to follow that woman. Wherever she's going, I want to be there. So he follows her and he doesn't even know where, like she turns around and she's like, oh, what are you doing? You know, hello. And he's like, oh, I was hoping I could work here. They're hiring and it turns out it's the swim school that he was looking into the window of. They're hiring swim instructors. So the sign says swimming school, but it's spelled S-W-M-M-I-N-G. There's no first I, so it's swimming. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's no I in swimming, you know what I mean? You got to do it as a team. It's a team sport.
No, it's a one individual body at a time.
Not synchronized swimming, which is the only true form of swimming.
I think swimming would be better if everybody just kind of like got up on, like everybody just kind of links up. And like a big Megatron, and then you become one body with like five people.
Yeah. Do you mean like a Megazord?
Yes, a Megazord, like a Power Ranger Megazord. I said Megatron, which is a different thing.
Yeah, Megatron. Is that a Transformers thing?
I don't know. It's a Nicki Minaj song.
Because it's also like Metatron is like a biblical thing, like a Hebrew biblical thing. But I think Megatron is a pun.
It's probably a transformer. Anyway, so yeah, swim school is looking for instructors. He sees her swim and he's like, wow, her swimming is so cool. and he admires her swimmer's body and her nipples that he can see through the swimming suit. And she's no nipple covers, and he's all excited about that.
Are nipple covers, is that like a no duh thing for girls? Is that like obviously?
I don't even know what a nipple cover to me would be like.
Like a pasty.
Yeah, that's only if you're like wearing a dress that like you're completely unable to wear a bra for, because, you know, like if you're wearing like a dress that's like
strapless.
Not just strapless, but like
sheer.
Basically, like you can't really configure. Yeah, like if it had like a V all the way down the middle, so that like you were bare skin straight down in between your boobs, and it was like backless or something, then there's like nowhere to hook a bra around you, or like, you know, or if it's like completely strapless and it's a deep plunge and it's like backless, then it's like, where does the bra go? You know,
mm-hmm.
So it'd be something like that, like a this dress or like a blouse that, like, that was like, that's like somebody made it so it's like impossible to wear a strapless bra, because there's bras that like that go like work around different wardrobes, right? There's like strapless bras, and there's bras that like, well, I think that's the main one, is I guess strapless bras. But then you have the ones that kind of paste onto you, and they just hook in the front, so they're okay. they're just kind of like cups that hook in the front, and they just stick on you. But if you're doing pasties, then that means like all around your boob is exposed. Anyway,
so this is not standard issue for going swimming.
Maybe in Japan, if you have, I don't know.
Maybe it's just if you're like a speed swimmer, you got to wear something very thin.
I feel like your swimsuit should just be like, because you don't wear a bra under your swimsuit. You don't wear anything under your swimsuit. You just wear your swimsuit.
I think you should wear full lingerie under a swimsuit.
So like the swimsuit is just thin for some reason. Like it doesn't like, also often swimsuits, actually for this problem exactly, women's swimsuits are a little bit padded so that you don't just have your nipples sticking out when you come out of cold water.
And if you're a speed swimmer, it should flatten your chest too.
Yeah.
That would make
sense. To make you more streamlined.
Yeah. You wouldn't want them like bouncing around and stuff while you're doing your athletic things. I don't know. I'm not an athlete. I just have boobs.
Okay.
That's my expertise.
Those are the two things I know about you.
Not an athlete.
As your husband.
Yeah. So I don't know. But he points out that he can see her nipples very obviously. Like you can see like her just, I mean, I don't know. Swimsuits are revealing. Let's see. So now they're like, okay, now you swim and let's see what you can do. I think at this point we show that he has a boner. I don't know. No one says anything. But anyway, he jumps into the water.
Right, because he has to audition to be a teacher.
Right, he's going
to
be a swim instructor. He's going to teach other people how to swim. And his swimming is so bad. It's really funny. He just looks like he's drowning.
Yeah, the voice actor, it's very funny. Because, Miles, we watched in Japanese. I don't know if you stuck with English?
I stuck with Japanese.
Oh, you stuck with Japanese. Yeah, it's very funny hearing him just go like, blah, 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 blah.
No, the funniest is at the end where he just like, he gets out and he's like, so how's my swimming? And that was just,
yes,
I don't
that
know.
That was very funny.
I just laughed out loud.
Well, they also,
I knew he would suck at it and that was going to be the joke, but it was still funny.
Yeah, it's like you see him suck it's kind of a long scene, but it like works really well.
Well, they did it really well where when he comes out, they give him a lot of detail. So he looks like a cool, mature guy, like there's a bunch of shading on his face and he's like, how was that? But it's like after he was a fucking dipshit barely making it across the pool.
So they're like, no, you should be taking classes, not teaching. And he's like, please let me work here. I'll clean the pools, you know, like
I think he says he'll clean the toilets too, which I was like, no, don't.
Yeah, like he'll clean stuff. Which, you know, he has a lot of experience doing at this point. I'm sure he has references as well. But, it turns out that the wild lady the wild lady, the lady that he followed there, is the chief instructor and in charge of the school. And she's like, we don't have any openings. We only are looking for instructors, and you're not cut out to be an instructor. And he says something like poetic about how he's a caterpillar becoming a butterfly.
Yes.
But she keeps saying like, no, there's no way, you're like unteachable. Like, you can't get up to speed. And he's like, I challenge you to a swim competition 1 month from now. He's like, you discount me, but I can get better. You're not qualified to be an instructor if you don't. I don't know, something about, I don't know. He insults her, which is like, whoa, it's a lot. I don't know. He gets a boner at this point. I wrote down boner.
Yeah.
So I don't know why he got a boner.
It's like weird. It's not like a plot thing. He doesn't comment. No one comments, but he's drawn with a bigger bulge in his.
I think because she's like yelling at him and he likes these like dominating, strong women.
He's a sub.
For sure. And so he's like, I'll study while I work here. You don't have to pay me. So basically he offers to work there for free. And you know, she can't resist this like ridiculous challenge of his, where he thinks he's going to beat the lead instructor in a month. And she's like, you know, like, so what does she get if she wins? He'll do any work she wants for free. And if he wins, then he gets to be a swim instructor there, I guess.
Yeah. Either way, he's an employee.
Yeah.
He's either a worthwhile employee or, I mean, I guess then you'd have to, yeah, then you have to admit that you were beaten by this dipshit who learned how to swim in a month.
Well, if he's an instructor, if he wins, then he gets paid to work there. If he...
Yeah, but probably dog shit.
But if he loses, then he does whatever work she wants for free. But yeah, it turns out she won an Olympic gold medal. So she's like really good. And I was like, this guy is somehow going to beat her anyway. I was like,
well, okay, this is on the same anime rewatch threads. Someone looked up to see like, could he beat her? Like, what's the average swim speed of like men versus women?
Mm.
And we know that, yeah, this anime is not going to be like, well, technically you won because you're a man or whatever, but apparently it's only 5% difference. Like, women are on average 5% slower at the competitive level than men in swimming.
But you're comparing competitive women with competitive men. Like, you're not comparing...
Well,
like,
yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like if you were to swim against an Olympic gold medalist, I don't think that the
right,
like,
but
the
show
I mean?
Does show that he is... he's, like, unrealistically insanely smart and gifted at learning.
Yeah.
Right? Like, a novice is not going to outcode anyone who's a professional coder
right.
in 1 month either. But I guess this person was checking to see, like, could he learn and then still have a genetic advantage that would also help him beat her? And it's like, no.
Well, his like his little bio thing says that he is like he's like in really good health, and you can tell that he is like, he is in shape. So
yeah,
that's good. But
probably because
like,
he has to fucking bike everywhere and is running from women that discover he's a pervert.
Biking doesn't work out your whole body though, right? Just your lower body.
Miles, what are we saying?
You have to hold yourself up the whole time.
You have to hold yourself up.
Especially in like a...
Like if you're not sitting.
And you got to like keep the bike straight, right? You have to like flex your hands and your arms to...
Okay, fine.
And you have to pet all the animals you pedal by?
I'm not an athlete. So last time I rode a bike, I was like 12.
Again, two things I know about you. You're not an athlete.
Yeah, I wrote down, this guy is out to prove he's better than the best woman. And I was like, this is like what dumb men think. That's what I wrote down. I was like, dumb men are like, yeah, I bet I could take her. Like, they, you know, like.
At least it doesn't happen in this one. You know what I mean? At least it doesn't fucking happen.
Yeah. But it's just so funny. It is sexist, but it like does it in such a way that I'm like not mad about it. I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. It's like magical. Cause I think if someone else tried to do this, they would get it. Like, it's so easy to get wrong. And I'd just be mad. I'd just be like, what the fuck is this shit? You know? And then, you know,
yes.
I don't know. You've heard me go on rants before.
I have.
So, you know, But anyway, so now he's instructing people.
Yeah, he's teaching kids. Then features some of the grossest shit in this show because he's teaching the little kids.
Yeah.
Who all they have to do is really just get comfortable in the water.
Yeah.
And they go over the different ranks of kid swim aptitude. And a lot of it is, can you just put your face in the goddamn water?
Mm-hmm.
And then how long can you hold your breath while underwater? But a bunch of kids piss themselves, puke some shit in their swimsuit.
Right, because he's doing janitor stuff. So he's cleaning up the puke and he's also teaching the kids. Kind of.
Yeah. It is like, nice that he thinks they're cute.
Yeah. Yeah. It gets along with the kids. And he's not like weird with, he's not a weird pervert with the kids, which is nice.
That is definitely a positive. That's one thing you can stamp that on a lot of anime, you know? Actually, I don't even think I can joke that much about that. To be like, the protagonist is not attracted to children, but in some cases, they are.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, in this anime, he's attracted to like women.
Well, like, no, in episode 2, she's like 16.
That's true.
But the rest of them, yeah, they're like women with jobs.
Yeah.
Which is good.
They're like boss bitches. He likes boss bitches.
Yeah. Yeah, the women who own companies.
It's like you either own the company or like you're the daughter of somebody who owns something important. Like, I don't know.
Right? Powerful women.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, you either, yeah. Or either that or status. It's either you're a boss or you have status, kind of, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Anyway, let's see. So, oh yeah, also the other teachers are women, which he points out. And he says that they are nice and they teach him, he teach him stuff in their spare time. So when they're not teaching the children, they're teaching him how to swim. Like really basic stuff. Yeah, he tells us about how tight and revealing their swimsuits are and kind of goes into detail. And we zoom into everything, of course. He is good with the kids. He makes them laugh. Let's see.
And he feels bad at one point.
She tells him, the boss lady is like, your manner of teaching is too childish. We nurture top-notch athletes. And you have to, like, you can't baby them, basically. Like, if they don't want to put their face in the water, you gotta... One of the teachers tells him to just, like, you just hold the kid's head. You just push the kid's head in the water and make them...
Huh.
And if they don't like it, they'll quit. And that's right. Fine.
Right, because you want to keep only the tough kids. The kids who are cut out for it.
I can't imagine... I mean, I can imagine this being a real... method for like parents that do really want their kids to be like competitive and stuff. It's like, if you're going to pay an expensive swim school, then they are going to be really fucking strict.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not how you, it's not a learn to swim type. You know what I mean? Like, the approach is different for a kid who's learned, like, you don't know they're going to be fast at swimming until they learn to swim.
But they have to, you got to be mean to all of them, Miles. Because then the cream will rise and not need a soft hand.
Hmm.
You know?
It just seems like you're throwing away.
Yes.
Like, those people are still going to be customers, the kids who suck at swimming.
Yeah, I guess it'll take a few years for someone to go, hey, you're soft pedaling them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Mm.
I don't know. I still think they should half drown the kids. I think it's good that they do that.
Well, he says, but what if they hate the pool? Yeah, and that's when she says, if they can't handle it, they'll quit. I wrote down.
Imagine the margins are incredible on running a swimming school.
Well,
maybe I'm wrong.
Well, so she says that it's a top-notch swim school. So that means that people are paying a lot of money to ensure that their kid is. Like, gonna be in the Olympics, right? And not, you know, not every kid that wants to be a good swimmer, or not every parent that wants their kid to be in the Olympics is gonna have a kid that's gonna make it to the Olympics, right? So I think it's like they push the kids really hard, and the kids that can't take the training, they quit, and that's okay because the people that like do make it through the whole thing are successful and like that works towards the rates of the school. If the school can say like this percent of kids, you know, that make it through our program become top athletes, then
they just have to not say how many 4-year-olds drop out.
Right, exactly. Don't say like how many people
we
like,
permanently damage 50% of the kids, right, here, how but many the other 50 are temporarily damaged, yeah, and have medals. But
how
yeah,
many kids
weird
are like, and the, you know, 90% of the people that quit our program are afraid of water and need therapy.
But I mean, I guess like what parent is putting their kid into swimming at such a young age and demanding results? You know?
Yeah.
I guess like you just want them to like not drown when you're by the pool.
Unless right, she like has all her Olympic swimming friends that are sending their kids because they're like, I want you to be an Olympic swimmer already. Yeah. I know that.
Yeah, I don't know.
So yeah, I guess this is just stupid all around.
Yeah, well, it's used as like a thing that we know about this guy. One is that he can get really good at something really quickly. Mostly by like we don't see him really. He says the word study a lot, but really he's like studying boobs and like
he writes stuff down.
Some of the time, I guess he's studying the actual content. But anyway,
I think he's observant. I'm trying to remember if he's observant.
He's always, yeah, he is.
Yeah. And he's observant. He is like
horny as hell.
No. Like, so what I wanted to say was that like somehow what he makes things better. Like he is like,
oh yeah, he's like an optimizer.
Yeah. Like he improved the code that they not the code, but like the actual product that like the output of it, like the thing that they built in the first episode. And in this, like he kind of makes the school better because by yes, the end of this episode, he kind of influences the practices of the school where the teachers are now like kind of adjusting their style.
Yeah, they're using a nicer, smarter way to keep kids engaged and
yeah,
keep them motivated to pass to the next level.
Yeah. And it kind of brings all the kids along and like helps them do it at their own pace while still giving a challenge to the kids that are doing well. So like there might be other episodes that are an example of this, but I can't think of any right now. Those are the two main ones that stick out to me, but yeah, he's
yeah, the noodle shop stays the same. Number two, it's like the mayor won, but it's not because Kintaro did anything. The girl in two though is a little bit more like she realizes
he improves
some of her psychological issues.
Yeah, he improves her by pointing out that she's has daddy issues or whatever.
Yeah,
I guess. He cures motorcycle girl of her motorcycle horniness.
I think she was fine.
Yeah, she wasn't hurting anyone.
Okay. Well, I think it's a problem, but we'll talk about it later.
Okay.
What else? Oh, right. I wrote down, he sees dolphins and imagines her in a BDSM outfit.
Of course.
And is like, please boss me around. Yeah.
He has like this weird thing where he is imagining that she is a dolphin tamer, which is that a thing? Does anyone use a whip on dolphins? And then
you shouldn't use a whip on dolphins.
I don't think we should either. They probably have very soft skin.
It's smooth.
I don't think, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and say this. You shouldn't use a whip on anybody. Mm.
Unless they want you to.
Yeah, but even then, make
unless
sure.
Unless they beg for it.
Disgusting. So he just like is, he sees her, he imagines her naked in a dominatrix outfit. So he runs over, slides on his knees and is like, boss me around. And then I forget what she does. Right.
She says,
that,
okay, fine, I'll teach you. And he's like, oh, that he's learned. Oh yeah. He goes to swim and he's learned a lot in a month. And then she jumps in the pool while he's swimming and she kind of is like flirting with him a little bit. And then
I think
race
a little bit. Yeah.
Oh, right. And they kind of race. She's like, haha, but you can't catch up to me. She's like totally flirting with him. And so then she starts swimming and he starts swimming behind her and he's like, oh, I can see her crotch. And like, you see like her legs opening and closing like as she's swimming.
They had fun drawing this.
And yeah. And you see a very detailed like crotch outline through her swimsuit, and he's like, oh boy, and he's like...
Yeah, he is somehow just doing a breaststroke underwater, and luckily, somehow she's also doing like a... some sort of forward thing, like she's not doing the freestyle swimming or whatever.
Yeah.
So he doesn't need to breathe. He's just underwater somehow, just staring straight at essentially her butthole. Because I think you
her
see
crotch.
some lines. It's not just her crotch, though.
Both.
Yes.
Her underside.
Her yeah, her bottom.
Yeah.
And he's just like staring at it while like breaststroking underwater.
And she says, because we see her, what's in her mind too. And she says she's adjusting her pace to match him. Like she's not going at her actual top speed because I guess she is having fun. And he just goes, he's so excited. He goes fast enough that basically his mouth just slams onto her crotch. Like he basically sucks her crotch a little bit.
I thought this was her butthole.
Okay.
I thought he sucks the water out of her butthole at the end, because at the end he like has to pull himself off, his mouth hits her and he has to like suction himself off, and then Jackie and I both audibly went ugh because he swallows whatever water is in his mouth.
Oh yeah,
so gross.
He loves it.
Yeah. And sorry, go ahead.
A couple of unrealistic things about this, though.
Uh-huh. What's that?
One, this pool is too shallow because they can stand in it.
Yeah.
I don't think in an Olympic pool you should be able to stand because you have to do like flips and stuff.
Yeah.
Interesting point.
Two, her hair stays very nice after she gets out of the pool. That's unrealistic. Also, she would wear a cap or something, wouldn't she?
Yeah, she'd wear a cap and goggles.
But she'd be less hot if she did that.
Yeah.
Well, I think in this case, it was an impromptu thing after she was done teaching, right?
Yeah, but we never see anybody wearing a cap and goggles.
I was wearing a cap and goggles while we watched this.
Oh, okay. I didn't see
you
doing
that. So
you
could have looked at me.
Yeah, so he... I don't know. I would consider this unintentional assault.
Yeah, this was
like sexual
this was
assault.
Bad. I didn't. It's like it was funny, but I was like, "This is awkward."
And he just says sorry.
Well, she kind of at this point, I think when they get out, she doesn't know that it was like because he's like swimming with his mind just on her.
It doesn't matter.
Her ass and crotch.
It doesn't matter. He just says sorry, and she just like ignores that that just happened, and is like, "You're pretty good, like at swimming." And I was like, "This is not a normal reaction."
Well, I think she just thinks that like, he was trying really hard to keep up and she was adjusting her pace and he just smacked into her bottom and maybe he didn't even notice that that's what he was hitting, that he just awkwardly bumped her.
I don't know. I think so. I think it would be acknowledged.
What would you do? Be like, hey, did you just mouth
Mark,
my butthole?
Mark, what would you do if someone had their mouth on your balls? Would you just be like, hey, you're pretty good at swimming?
I'd be like, yippee.
In the pool? In the pool, right?
At the drive-in.
Just like someone whoopsie, like some like fucking rando.
Well, that's the thing is if it was a momentary thing and like the animation we saw was just exaggerated for comedy, like if someone just bumped my balls because I was like, yeah, catch up to me in swimming,
it would hurt.
It would hurt also, yeah. I'd be like, my fucking balls. But I'd be like, whoa. And I wouldn't be sure it was their balls. If we're like moving fast and I have a swimsuit on.
No, their mouth on your balls.
Sorry. You're right. I wasn't sure that their mouth is what hit my balls. If we're just like moving fast and suddenly my balls hurt. But I think like half my mind would be like, did that guy just try to put his face in my balls?
Mm-hmm.
But I might also be like, you're imagining it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then when what happens in the show happens and I notice he has a full erection that is coming out of his bathing suit.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, okay, this guy tried to mouth my balls.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, yeah. So he just says, sorry. And she says, you're pretty good. And then she says, I'll admit you have guts. And then he gets out of the pool and it's blurred.
His dick is out of his pants. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Why is his dick out of his, like, did he lose his bathing suit in that?
No.
No.
He got so horny that I think his dick just left.
Like, okay, his dick was too big for the Speedo thing that he was wearing.
Yeah. And I think angle played a part too.
Mm.
It looked painful, TBH.
And that's when she gets mad and punches him. But like, it's because of the sanctity of the pool was broken.
She's mad that he had a boner in the pool.
Yeah.
And that also maybe now she realizes like he was trying to grab my ass with his mouth.
Yeah. Okay. Well, she fires him. And
which was like, thank God, finally someone can fire this guy.
Yes,
there's a little. I mean, this show already has too much. Like,
he doesn't let you fire him.
Misunderstanding, but yeah.
And then this is where we see like, oh, the kids are having a good time now, and the teachers are being gentler with them, and they're trying new things. They took his advice, I guess. They learned from him.
One of the things is like the kids want to put their face underwater because they put rings at the bottom of the pool. So yeah. The kids have to go try and grab them and play a game.
Yeah. So if they put rings at the bottom of the pool, even the kids that don't want to put their face in the water, like, will do it just to, you know, play the game with the rings. The owner hears this and she thinks of her dad and how he taught her to love the water. And she hears that it was Golden Boy's idea. And she is, and then a parent shows up and with her kid, and she's like, oh, thank you so much. This school is so great. You taught my kid how to like love the water. The owner is like, wow, this guy actually is good. So she wants to hire him as a coach, but,
He seems to be gone.
He seems to be gone.
She also, I don't know if it's after that.
She looks horny. She calls him Oe Sensei at the end.
Yeah.
And looks horny about it.
At some point, she goes like, he beat me. Just because he improved the school a little bit, he was right about training kids. She's like, he beat me. I'm like, no, you're an Olympic gold medalist.
Yeah.
He could not.
And she tears up, right?
I think so.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, I wrote down this show is such a male fantasy, but it's funny. It's funny enough to work. Yeah, I was like, it's kind of offensive that he can beat these expert women at their expertise in a month of studying, but it's more funny than offensive that this goofy horn dog somehow pulls it off.
The male fantasy to be unemployed and walk the earth.
To be unemployed and wander to like... ogle and sometimes assault women, but they think it's a misunderstanding, and then you outsmart them and they're horny for you.
But then
while working menial jobs.
Yes.
But then you're already gone. He can never fuck these women because he's already gone by the time that they come around to him.
Actually, having sex with women is kind of gay. You just have to horny and dominate them in their field, and then you get out of there.
Yeah.
I wrote you could put at the bottom of the poster, he's a disgusting pervert, but he's smarter than women. That's what I think you could
smarter,
describe.
Not even like smarter than your average woman, but smarter than like...
smarter than women at the top of their field.
Smarter than elite women. Anyway, episode 5, this is the one with the motorcycle babe. He spots a motorcycle babe. I wrote down she looks like a shrine maiden because she has the long black hair. I don't know. She just had that look.
Long black hair and bangs that you're thinking of. Is it Sailor Mars?
Sailor Mars has that look. Every fucking shrine maiden in any anime has that look.
Maybe it's just a traditional.
No, it has a name. I've looked it up before. Hold on a second. Let me see if I can find it.
I'm going to race you. It's called a... fuck. This is so boring now.
This lady fucks her motorcycle, though.
She really does. And it kind of makes sense. I was like, oh, I should interview some motorcycle riding ladies. She'd be like, is it because it rumbles and bumbles? Is that why you do it?
I can't find it. But
is
anyway.
Is that why the men do it?
Do what? Motorcycling?
Yeah.
That's probably it.
Because it goes vroom vroom on your bottom.
Yeah, so she just starts kind of fucking her motorcycle. He's like looking at her like, wow, look at that babe. And she's just
does a beer commercial, basically.
She's drinking a beer.
She's drinking a beer. She's wearing, of course, that speed suit that just has a zipper.
It's very long, this scene.
Yeah, and it's funny because this is where this is one scene where it's basically porn because... I don't think that she gets totally naked, but it's like she's unzipped, her tits are huge, the motorcycle's rumbling, and she's, I think, making sex noises. But on top of it, you also have Oe being like, this is crazy. And he goes, and sexy. And crazy and sexy are said in Japanese English.
We need those. We need the commentary. We need his commentary all the time.
It's pretty funny, but also, yeah, don't watch this with your parents or anything.
It's a very long scene of her. I just wrote down, she's just fucking her motorcycle, I guess. And then I wrote down, this is a long scene of her fucking her motorcycle. Like, I had to say it twice because it's like long enough that I could type both those sentences out.
It's two long ones.
And then a title card comes up that says, don't drink and drive.
Yeah.
She throws her beer can at him or something. And so he follows her because that's what he does. But he's on his bike. So he loses her. And he wishes upon a shooting star that he'll see. I don't know what he calls her, but I think he calls her my shooting star. I don't know. Motorcycle babe is what I call her.
Bike fucker.
And so then he, you know, on his way up that mountain, he sees a temple. So he starts to work there. He trains under, I wrote down, he trains under a man, so we don't pay a lot of attention to him. Basically, like, we only pay attention
yeah, who gives a shit?
Right? when it's the fucking ramen guy, it's like, eh, whatever. Like, who cares?
He could never outmatch the soba. I think it's soba noodle place because it's a man.
Right.
He's not smarter than him.
It's also
he runs the place.
That's not why people watch. Like, nobody would watch if there was an episode where he just, like, the same thing that's happening with, like, women, but with a man, where it's just, like, remove all of this horniness and just, like, he just tries to get as good as, like, some boss guy. Like,
what does he also hug the toilet, rub his face on the man's toilet?
No, maybe for, like, a different woman at the company, but not not for him. Reiko is the master's daughter. She's like a perfect, like, picturesque beauty, elegant, you know, perfect etiquette, whatever. Just like that, whatever that name, there's a term for it in Japanese, like the just kind of like perfect, like ideal traditional woman. And that, like, and that's also like the shrine maiden look that I'm talking about. Like, there's a name for it.
The only thing I find is that, like, they have like a name for like the thing that they tie their ponytails with when they have a ponytail.
It's not specific to shrine maidens. It's specific to like a Japanese traditional beauty.
Got it.
Kind of thing.
I don't know if we're gonna. Wow, there's a Wikipedia article: Japanese female beauty practices and ideals.
Yeah, I've seen that. That's not it.
Oh, right. They love the double tooth look in some Japanese women where they have fang-like teeth, which is interesting. Anyway, let's get on with it.
I'll find this eventually.
Because we're only episode 4. Or okay. No, we're on 5, rather. Sorry. We're only episode 5.
Yeah. Okay. So...
so he's learning how to help maintain the shrine and work at this nobility. Or is it a shrine technically, or is it just like an estate?
It's a temple.
Okay.
He cleans an old-fashioned floor toilet. And like, she was in there, so he...
oh my
whatever
god.
He does.
Every time there's a toilet, it's like he's...
the toilet fetish again.
Him and Polnareff are like the opposite. Polnareff sees a toilet, right. His life is just going to get awful. This guy sees a toilet, he's like, things are looking up while I'm looking down.
Well, but it doesn't go, it never goes good for him either, because the woman that he's thinking about always shows up.
He's just trying to have an innocent good time with a toilet.
Yeah, and so she catches him being a weirdo, but she just closes the door on him. She doesn't like do anything. He starts looking through her stuff and he starts licking her teacup. You notice that, like, he's
yeah, he licks her
stuff.
Teacup, but then he takes out a beer can that he took from the motorcycle babe,
right?
And he
puts two and two together.
Does
somehow
he?
He's able to taste saliva through alcohol on one.
He does that.
I believe he licks
that.
Both to compare the taste and decide.
He's part dog. Yeah,
he's part dog, exactly.
So then he gets fired, and he's like, "Why?" And they're like, "Put your hand on your heart and think."
I thought that was funny.
That was funny, but did you guys find, was it just the toilet thing, or do you think that is it not supposed to be specific?
I think the toilet thing was enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they drag him out. And he's like, but no,
I think he was also bad at it, too. He did drop like a ton of food when he's.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, while they're dragging him out, he's like, but no real plot has developed yet.
Yeah, I thought that was funny, too.
Yeah.
And then he's like, this has been very educational. he's just hanging out outside. They kick him out, but he has nowhere to go. So he's just like hanging out outside like all day. It seems like he's there for a while. But Reiko.
Yeah, he just camps out.
Yeah, he's just camped watching them. He's like an assassin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Reiko leaves there like really late slash early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, what's Reiko doing out here so late? And she's taking a taxi. So he follows her. And he follows her somewhere, and it's like a factory or a garage or something. And she just gets naked and starts like fucking her motorcycle, basically.
Yeah.
her boobs are huge. She's masturbating on the bike or whatever. And she sees him watching her in the mirror, and he just like walks in and he's like, hey. But then they just start talking.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I guess I'm caught. And he just walks in. Yeah.
I thought that was
again
so
like least like, realistic woman ever, especially with
like
what's
someone
coming.
Just walked in on you. Like, are you not going to be like, oh, what are you doing here? No, she's just like, hey, they just start talking. And they just like, have a conversation.
Because it's like it seems like it's her secret. Like she went to all this trouble to do this in a like abandoned factory.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know? Well, then that's actually the next thing she says is like he walks in, he's like, ah, yeah, you caught me. I followed you here, and she's like. I'll tell you my secret because no one would believe you.
Right. She's just like, you're an unemployed weirdo or whatever.
as she says, she can't, as she says, I can't interest myself in human men. That's why only my bimbo baby or bimbo-chan, I think.
I don't
what
think
in
it's
the,
bimbo.
What is it?
I think it's just bimo.
Bimo. Sorry,
yeah,
I said bimbo.
Bimbo is like a homeless person.
Bimo, bimo. Bimbo baby or bimbo-chan can get me off. And she starts touching herself on the motorcycle, and he gets a boner, and she's like, so you want to do me? If you want me, catch me as I ride Bimo-chan. So yeah.
Which is absurd. It's a bicycle.
It's absurd too, because at first I was like, oh, okay. So she has that disease they have in the movie Crash where they're attracted to cars.
Oh yeah.
Except there's no car crash. And I'm talking about the David Cronenberg crash.
Oh,
but then, no, I'm not talking about the disease known as racism in the 2001 or 2002. Whatever
Academy Award winning film.
Whatever dumb movie beats Brokeback Mountain. I'm talking about the fucked up.
Starring Ludacris.
The weird anti-movie from the 90s where people get horny from car crashes. But it's like you hear that and you're like, oh, okay, this is an interesting lady. But then she's also like, oh, yeah, also if you beat me, I would have sex with you. It's like, what? You don't have a. I guess the idea
she is attracted to whatever is the fastest thing because she's talking about that she's not into men because they can never beat her BMO. You know,
she's like the bomb in the movie Speed. If you go over a certain speed limit, she will have sex with you.
Yes.
Because if you slow down, then she's done. That's it.
Yeah. So that's why I thought it was.
Why
a
isn't
problem.
She fucking like the Shinkansen?
Yeah, maybe that's she does.
True. Maybe she does, yeah.
Maybe she does, yeah.
It's like maybe you have to be at least as fast as her motorcycle, but you can
Let's spend a long time talking about like the mechanics of how she would do that.
The Shinkansen?
Yeah.
She would just do what she's doing on the motorcycle.
She would just like strap herself to the bottom of it.
Rubs up against the metal somewhere and,
yeah,
you know, goes
like,
to town.
Like a dog that just hasn't been spayed or neutered.
All right, I take it back. Not enough time. I mean, too much time.
Yeah.
And so, the rest of the episode's just a race.
Yeah. So
the least realistic episode.
Let's see. Yeah, it's like kind of a silly race. kind of like a Looney Tunes ass race.
Yes.
Well, there's a little Chekhov's gun because while he's camping out, he's like, I need to tighten the strings on my brakes. And his brakes snap in this one.
Oh,
that's
nice.
I mean, to be fair, though. They should have snapped no matter what he did to his bike before this. Yeah. But I do see what you're saying. There's a little reference to needing to fix his brakes.
Yeah.
Okay, so she starts going off on her motorcycle. He's riding his bike. So he is, of course, lagging way behind. But he notices this like crazy, like this slide that like goes all the way down. Like it's like a mountain that goes like, you know, she's going like around the mountain and around the mountain and around the mountain to go down. But he finds like a slide that just will cut straight down to the bottom. But it's like a crazy slide to go down on your bike that would kill anyone.
Anyone.
Anyone that tries it. Like it's, I don't know what that even slide is there for, but it's not for what he's going to do. But he just thinks about how hot she is and he's just like, it's worth it. It's worth risking my life, basically, is the thought process. So he does it. He's right. I wrote down he's too horny to stop himself. I don't know. She starts messing with some driver in like a fast car and she's like, but this guy can't be as fast. He's not as fast as my BMO or whatever. Golden Boy hitches a ride with that car that's now chasing her. He does some crazy loop-de-loop and he ends up on a fucking phone wire.
Yeah, he goes like there's like an incomplete bridge and he uses it as a ramp and then he's riding along, yeah, the power lines.
Yeah. And he passes her on his bike. And there's like a right angle turn ahead and he's going to jump and she's like, "Is he going to jump over the ravine?" And she's like, "Okay, BMO, we're going to do it too. If he's going to do it, like let's do it." But then she chickens out at the last moment and he fucking does it. And like, I was like, there's no way he's going to make it. And he doesn't. He just like kind of falls down in the middle.
I love that.
Yeah, I was glad. I kind of knew it was going to happen, but it's funny when it happens.
It was very funny. It was isn't there a very similar like Simpsons bit?
Oh, I don't know.
I think I have to, maybe I'll post it later or something.
So she decides that he's better than her BMO. She's like, amazing. Although it's kind of pointless when you're dead.
Yeah.
But he's still going. He actually isn't dead. He somehow comes out and she sees him. But he's like far away.
He can't stop.
He can't stop. He keeps going. He's like the Energizer bunny.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "Somebody stop me." And I forgot to check in the dub whether he says it like Jim Carrey.
Oh, that's smart. I actually don't know if the timing works out on that.
Oh, I wrote
it
down.
Probably doesn't. You're right.
I wrote down. Now he fucked her up. She's only attracted to him now, because he beat her bike. So it's just like she doesn't want her bike anymore. She wants him, but he's gone. So anyway, I thought he fucked her up. And then she just is like screaming out to him, "Wait, you've got to come back and screw me. Turn me into goo."
Yeah, she says, "Turn me into goo." And this is almost the only anime episode that I can think of where the last line is the word goo. Because the narrator comes on to be like, he's 25 and he dropped out of school because he's so smart. I wanted to say again from those Reddit threads, someone points out that when they're going to race, do you guys remember how like they show snow on like an evergreen tree and the snow like falls off the tree and that's when they decide to like go?
Mm-hmm.
That's apparently a reference to when Guts and Griffith fight in Berserk. The exact same thing happens. And it might just be like a cinematic trope, you know? Like the only other example I can think of is in Pulp Fiction. They like only start shooting at each other when the toast pops. Mm. Like I guess just something startles people and they both know like go. But it is interesting that Berserk would have just come out and been a pretty current anime to reference. Also, the Berserk, like the short video that I saw referencing this, we gotta watch more Berserk. That shit is beautiful.
Is there that much anime?
There's the original run, which does end on a cliffhanger before it gets like really nutsy. And then they did some later adaptations that are mixed and not as like classic, beautiful, hand drawn.
Do they do the whole, like Golden Age arc? Is that?
I believe they did that as a series of films that are on Netflix. I don't remember if people like them, and I believe they're pretty abridged. But I think some people do like them. I feel like I have read praise. Listeners, if you have feelings on a good way to watch Berserk, yes, we all know the best way is going to be just to read it and stuff. But if you have opinions, I know
if
one
you
of
don't
them,
know how to read.
I know one of the modern anime sucks ass, and the animation's really cheap and bad. But yeah. Other feelings, you can email us jojosbizarrepod@gmail.com. Hit us up in our Discord. tweet to us. We are at JJBpod, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, that's episode 5.
Episode 6. So he
anime.
Wants to apply for another job. His resume must be crazy. It's got to be like 40 pages. Anyway, applies for a job that requires wheels. And so he's like, yeah, I have a bike. And they're like, no, we meant like a car. But
yeah, I think this is because like the Japanese word for car is kuruma, but that also might just mean wheel because it's written with just the character for wheel a lot of the time. I might be wrong. Don't listen to me. I don't know.
Okay. Well.
Okay.
Sorry.
We watched it with the dub, with subtitles. So they're short staffed, so he joins anyway. Chie is the what's her role? She's a painter. She shows him around. The animators are all asleep at their desks. It's an animation production company.
Yes, they're called ABCD, which is probably a reference to APPP, who made the show and the JoJo OVA and some other good stuff. And I checked to see if at one point an animator says, oh yeah, this studio also has done hentai, basically. Mm-hmm. And APPP, I forgot, they famously did Cream Lemon, which is an early 80s and early in general hentai.
Mm.
So this is supposed to be the studio that is making this anime.
That's cool. And he kind of there's a lot of like informational stuff about how animation works, but I didn't really catch all of those details. And I thought that this was just a hentai shop. Like, I didn't realize that they made anything else. Because he starts talking to an artist who is drawing boobies and stuff, and he's like, oh, I draw boobies in my book, and they compare, and he's like, oh, you're really good.
they discuss the type of boobs they like.
He's like, oh, you're really good with boobs, you should become an animator. And then the manga author comes in with his like boss lady babe. I don't really know what her role is, though.
I think that she might be like
his publicist or something.
Or his manager, or his agent.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. I'm thinking of someone else. You're right.
What's his name? Kintaro, right?
Yes, Kintaro Ue.
Kintaro looks up to him because he knows him. He's like, oh, he made this and that. Like, he knows the books that he made.
And that's Tatsuya Egawa, basically.
Yeah. Also, the anime that they're working on now is about kindergartners who unleash a demon. Right. Okay. Yeah.
It's not a hentai.
Thank God.
So now we start to see that he's using his some skills that he's learned and also some friends that he's made to help them along. So he uses his restaurant skills to prep food for them. But then later he just calls up his friend that works at the restaurant to bring food.
The noodle shop that he was at in episode 3.
He sneaks into the lady's toilet later where who just peed?
Chie?
Is it Chie? Okay.
But it's where everybody sits.
Yeah,
it's
but
like a lot
she
of,
just came out of there.
But it's a lot of like unshowered dudes. You know? If you put your face on that toilet, that's mostly what you're getting.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, he cleans up the place. Some guy is like, oh, did you clean my desk? No, I don't know where anything is anymore.
Yeah. I respect that guy.
There's like some deadline that they need to meet that they keep asking to extend.
Because they have a contract. They need to extend it, but the director gets hit by a car and they're already behind.
Well, not yet. Well, yeah, that's about to happen.
Sorry, I thought you were compressing everything.
Well, Chie spills hot tea on the boss lady's boobs and Golden Boy goes to clean them and he jiggles them all around.
it seems like he does get the tea off really quickly.
And I think he also is secretly doing it to take the heat off the tea girl.
Yeah. Well, she later thanks him for it. But I think that this makes her, the lady who got tea on herself, that makes her not want to be flexible with the deadlines.
Yeah, he shakes her teas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
the director was hit by a car. There's no way they'll make the deadline. Chie was like, thank you for taking the heat off of me. She says something like, life has no meaning.
She goes like, nothing I do matters.
Yeah.
Holy shit, that's
like,
heavy.
She's like, all I do is paint cells. And he's like, there are no jobs that are meaningless. Animation is awesome. And then he has some crazy ideas because, like we said before, he just makes things better somehow. He has new ideas and he learns really quickly and stuff. So he's like, why don't we use computers like Disney does? And he calls up his programming lady friends.
I like that they're not just like,
yeah, we'll do it.
That they don't magically know CG. That they're like, well, we could do wireframe modeling. Like, they're just like, we could do that.
Yeah, yeah. That, exactly. Yeah, they say we don't specialize in animation, but we can make the wireframe guidelines. They need a reference video of someone swimming, so he asked his swimmer lady friend to send a video of herself swimming. He is basically sending things back and forth from the studio to the hospital, to the director that's in the hospital. The noodle shop girl brings food. The voice actress bailed, so they find some... So he's like, oh, I know, I have some people in mind to do the voice acting. But I couldn't tell who it was that he brought in for voice acting. Mark thought it was the high school girl. But I couldn't tell.
I think it was, yeah.
Okay.
And her friend. I don't remember if she had a friend in episode two, but yeah, I'm pretty sure one of them was the mayor's daughter.
He gets the motorcycle girl, the girl who fucks her motorcycle. He got her to start doing deliveries. because motorcycles
getting the
are
gang back together.
Yeah, yeah. It was fun.
So everyone, I thought at first, I thought, oh, maybe he's going to use the skills that he learned, but no, he doesn't use any of the skills that he learned. Like, I thought, like, maybe he'll start programming something. Maybe he'll, you know, I don't know, whatever. But
I like this better.
But instead,
he's... So it's not sexist, you know? He acknowledges the skills of the women.
No, because he's also whispering in his ear. He's like, I would have done that better, but I just don't have time.
He doesn't say that.
No, I know.
But okay.
What I imagine his stupid smart brain does.
And so then they screen the movie and, you know, he's watching other people watch the movie and he's like, oh no, do they hate it? Cause they're kind of, some people are taking notes but the audience loved it. It was a success. And they just, somebody makes a note. So somebody just says like, oh yeah, we just have one last cleanup job. So I guess it's mostly good, but they notice some issues that they're going to fix, but like not a big deal.
I think the idea here is that he's looking at everyone that he was working with and none of them look happy. I think it's just a reference to the fact that you notice all like the shit that's wrong with your own work.
Yeah.
And it's never good enough. And especially in this case, they had to do a lot of spit and glue.
Mm-hmm.
But the people who were there, because this includes like the swim instructor lady is in the audience. Mm-hmm. So it's like all the babes are there.
It's all the babes. That's the joke that we're about to hear now, because then he like disappears and all the women are like, wait, no, if he leaves, we'll never get to see him again. Like, we'll never be able to track him down because they all have been waiting to fuck him this whole time.
Yeah.
And they haven't gotten a chance to do it. So they were all waiting for him. They were all like, yeah, I'll help you. And then like, now that I found you, but
you know
he
what
disappears
it is?
Again.
Do you guys think Kintaro is a gooner?
What does that mean?
What does this mean?
You guys don't know about gooning? It's where you just look at porn all day. But you do not climax. You just stare at it and you post on Reddit about your setup and you talk with other dudes about it and you don't come.
I don't want to know about this.
Too bad. You do now. And then you probably get a disease and die. That's
Mark,
my guess.
I think he comes because he...
Yeah, he can't have it all pent up and ride that bike all day. Destroy himself.
In multiple episodes, he said, I'm going to come. So I think he comes from just like seeing a woman.
But he doesn't. In his brain, he's probably like, you can't, bro. Keep the goon going. Keep the goon sesh running.
I don't think he's this thing, whatever you're talking about. I don't think it is.
Miles, I'm just going to make like NPR do an episode on it and you'll learn.
Could you imagine like a quiet voice? Today we're going to talk about Gooning.
We're going to talk about goon sesh.
On the other side of the break, gooning, where men don't jerk off.
Yeah, it's really like if an anthropologist from like planet Zeon came down here, they would be like, "This species is dying. Look at this."
Just imagining the script being like, "But there's one difference. He watched porn, but he didn't come."
It's like, yeah, I just look at it and I just compare setups to other bros. I have an ultra wide monitor, so my wallpaper has to be pretty advanced. Anyway, I have boring things to talk about.
Wait, hold on.
Oh.
It's not over.
It's not over.
So he disappears and all the girls want to fuck him. And they're like, well, now if we lose him, we'll never find him. Then we get the like, oh, one day he may save the anime industry or even the world. And then we get the art girl, Chie, is like, Kintaro, you taught me how fun this job is. I'll see you again someday, won't I? So he's leaving another girl, like, just, like, sad.
Yeah, and she, and the noodle shop girl, make more sense because they don't see how sick and perverted this guy is.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't see him catch spit in his mouth or drink pool water or whatever.
That's true. They didn't see him. They haven't seen him like lick toilets or whatever.
Right. I think each of them maybe interrupt him, but they don't notice what he's doing.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if Chie interrupts him in this one. Well, I guess if he's doing all this and like saving the animation studio from being sued and stuff, maybe you're like, but he sniffs toilets, but that's okay.
Are they his type though? Because I don't know if he really goes like into the fantasy with them like he does with the like more boss bait.
That's true. They're not that assertive and domineering.
Yeah.
Anyway,
he continues to go where he's needed and also where his horny heart takes him. The end.
Right. There's a ton of manga around this, so I guess if you wanna be horny and laugh, you have a lot of comics you could read. But I want to talk to you guys about trash. Because in this episode, he talks about non-burnable waste. And I was like, oh, do they burn trash in Japan? Or was this in 95? They burn trash? Because when I think about burning trash, I just think about like our grandparents doing that and fucking up the environment. But apparently a lot of places in the world do still burn trash. And in like, what is it, Sweden? And Japan, they have environmentally less impactful ways of burning the trash. And then during the fire, it's like if you burn it very quick, you can filter out a lot of the bad stuff. You can power steam engines. So then you're like re-harnessing the energy from the burn. Stuff that goes into a landfill either slowly leaks greenhouse gases anyway, or you have to burn energy to dig the fucking landfill. And apparently Japan has done something called land reclamation, where you take the ash from the burned garbage, you throw it into the ocean with a bunch of other stuff, and you create land masses. And since 2012, they have created over 96 square miles of new land. This is from Today I Learned on Reddit.
Oh, so that's kind of neat.
So some countries can burn garbage, and it's good.
It's a little bit dangerous to burn garbage, though, willy-nilly.
Well,
sometimes you throw shit out that explodes.
Well, no, that's the thing. And this is another interesting. I'm talking about, apparently in Japan, they have garbage collection every fucking day. And if
that's
you
good.
Do not sort your garbage correctly, they will take it out and separate it and like leave it on your step. And they'll put a mean red sticker on it. And your neighbors will scold you. Like old ladies will be like, eggs don't go here. You can't put your trash out like this. And they'll like yell at you for it. And I just thought, what a nice thing. I mean, it's a pain in the ass probably, but like in our town they were like, for cardboard you have to flatten it all out and then tie it with twine. And I was like, I can't do this. I suck at tying flat objects with twine. And so I still tried really hard, and then I looked around at our neighbors and they're not obeying any of the fucking rules.
Nobody's shunning each other. That's
why they just throw shit in there. And it's like, damn. In Japan they're like, no, we have to do this because it's the right thing to do, damn it. And yeah, we should do this. We should have government-sponsored smart trash burns, and then we should make more land, and I should own some of that land because I suggested it. That's what I think. Anyway, pretty good anime. It's fun.
It was fun. Yeah. I liked how it came together in the end, but it was a little too horny for me.
It's pretty horny.
Being a Christian woman.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a lot, but it was funny. So, yeah. And I mean, it's also short, so I feel like it's worth a watch.
Yeah. It's got a lot of great hand-drawn 90s animation as well, if you're into that. And if you like babes, there's some good babes in here. You just also have to be ready for Kintaro being a real grosso.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's some laughs to be had.
I just want an anime about the ramen shop.
There's probably multiple. You know, there's certainly 1 million mangas for every industry, hobby, etc. There's probably some animes too.
I asked in the Discord which cycling anime I should watch. I don't know if people chimed in.
They did. I don't know. We've had it recommended via email, and I think maybe Chad mentioned Yowamushi Pedal. Hmm. That might be the most prominent or only one. IDK. I also read someone else's opinion of what Kintaro's bike is. But they were the only person that thought so.
I was surprised it was it's a mountain bike. Because he's on the road all the time, and a mountain bike is a little slower and heavier. But he does off-road quite a bit.
He off-roads and off-ground. He fucking flies. Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. I recommend it. But just know that like it's going to be real horny. Don't watch it at church or on the bus. Okay. Next week... Oh, I give it 5 out of 6 Golden Boys.
Oh, okay.
Why 6?
Because there's 6 episodes. I don't know.
Oh, okay. I give it a Golden Boy.
Oh.
Out of Golden Boy.
So 1 out of 1.
Yeah, but the tiers are, it could be a gold, a silver, a copper, a bronze boy.
That's interesting. Okay.
So I give it the highest tier.
Okay. I give it 1 out of 2 jiggly titties.
Oh.
Mm.
Well, I have to give it 2 out of 2 jiggly titties. All right. Next week, I don't know exactly how it's going to work because I didn't really fully wrap my brain around it, but we have a Patreon pledge to watch Inferno Cop. But it's apparently like all the episodes are like 2 or 3 minutes. So we're going to watch a lot of it. It's Studio Trigger, so it's going to be weird as hell. But it might be fun. Yeah, so some amount of Inferno Cop is what we're going to cover next week. But before then, we should go. Yeah, Twitter @JJBpod. The Discord you can join by looking at the description of this episode in your podcast app, and you can email jojosbizarrepod@gmail.com. We also have a Patreon if you want to throw us a dollar. Why not? Patreon.com/JJBpod. We'll talk to you next week, and don't drink and bike unless you're going to bed with it. Bye.
Bye.
Go Knicks.
What'd you say?
I said go Knicks.
Oh.